Hello, everyone. Yeah, I had a little bit of trouble taking the mic because every time I reached for my mouse, Jamie would knock my arm off of the mouse with her nose. She doesn't want me sitting here right now, but she'll surrender in a moment. So hello, everyone. Happy Sunday. And happy birthday, Lynn. As you know, we've been celebrating birthdays here, too. let's see. Ron had a birthday on February 5th, and Jasmine's birthday is tomorrow. So we had a little party here last night. That was a lot of fun. So lots of birthdays happening right now. It's also Jasmine's best friend's birthday. So lots of birthdays. Last week, I shared an oldie but a goodie with you, a message called The Code. And this week, I'm going to share another oldie but goodie. It's a message called The Flow. Closely related to The Code, actually came before The Code at an earlier time, about a month earlier. So you could say it's a predecessor to The Code. Oops, and that link is not going to work for you guys. So, because there's a space in it, and Pal Talk is breaking the link where the space is, let me just take a moment here to rename the file, and then we'll have no problem at all. Okay, now I'm going to recopy that. I'm pasting the link to the message in the room now, just in case you want to read along with me tonight. The message of the flow, which I received on September 11th, 2007, and September 13th, 2007. It actually came in three parts. The first part on September 11th, and then the second part on the morning of September 13th. And the third part on the afternoon of September 13th. Why don't we take a moment of silence before we begin looking at the message? Amen. All right, and I open my eyes to see a couple more friends have entered into the room, so I will give that link again. The link to the message I'm going to be sharing tonight. Now, I'm not here to tell the story of Regina and Laurent again. I'm done telling that story. But I do have to mention it because this message starts off in such a strong way. The first sentence of this message is, "The killed is an idea in the mind reinforced by your own willingness to believe in the killer." So I just have to mention that this message came when Laurent and I had been living together for 3 weeks. And we really, really had a difficult time in that first 3 weeks together. And here's what the story looked like. The story looked like, it looked like him being severely disappointed in me, you know, primarily thinking that I was ugly and not wanting to be with someone ugly. And it looked like me believing that I was ugly and not good enough. And this is where the terms killed and killer come from. Because as he and I looked at this dynamic that was happening between us, because even though we were having a difficult time, we were also looking at it with spirit. And so as he and I looked at this dynamic that was happening between us, those are the nicknames we gave it. We called me the killed, and we called him the killer. the killer and the killed. So that's why this message starts off with that strong language, because that's, you know, that's where we were. So when this message says the killed is an idea in the mind reinforced by your own willingness to believe in the killer. And then it says the killer is judgment. Already we have our very, very first correction. It's a correction of a misperception. Because as I just told you the story, the way Laurent and I saw it is he was the killer. And what this is saying is Laurent is not the killer. Judgment itself is the killer. You know, and the judgment, although it may be in his mind, we're not going to pretend like there wasn't any judgment in his mind at that time, because there was. But what was mostly affecting me was the judgment in my own mind. Remember I told you that when he thought that I was ugly and not good enough for him, I agreed. That's the most important point, is that last part. I agreed. And this is where my pain and my sense of being the killed came from. So what Spirit is pointing out immediately in this message is that Laurent is not the problem. The judgment in my own mind was the problem. This is where my suffering was coming from. So starting again, the killed is an idea in the mind reinforced by your own willingness to believe in the killer. The killer is judgment. Belief in judgment is belief in a mirage. For judgment only sees what isn't and judges it as true and unworthy. Even when judgment judges as beautiful, it chooses the perception of unworthy. For beautiful and unworthy are two sides of the same idea of judgment. This is the idea of duality and choose between. The idea of choose between is an exciting experience created out of illusion. For in reality, there is nothing to choose between. There is only the flow. Yesterday, I think I saw a commercial for some TV show, kind of documentary-type TV show, physics-based TV show. And I don't know squat about physics. But on the commercial, I heard this sentence, which of course I've heard before. It's a physics sentence. I have heard it before. Probably all of you have heard this physics sentence as well. For every action, there is an equal reaction. That was the physics sentence that jumped out at me off of this commercial. For every action, there is an equal reaction. Well, in effect, that's what Holy Spirit is saying here. Holy Spirit is saying, if you believe in beautiful, and Spirit means as some things are beautiful, right? Beautiful as an idea of specialness. There are things that are beautiful. Then you also have the things that are not beautiful. Or you have the things that are ugly. Or you have the things that are unworthy. So if I pick that a certain thing is beautiful, that's an action, then I'm also going to have an opposite and equal reaction, which is something else that's ugly or unworthy or undesired. And Spirit is saying that's where duality comes from, is these ideas. And you can't have one without the other. And Spirit is actually saying that the ideas of beautiful and ugly, or worthy and unworthy, that these ideas that we can choose between, that appear to be available to us, that these ideas are illusory. The Spirit says there's nothing to choose between. There is only the flow. The next paragraph. The way to let go of the killed, and remember, I felt like the killed. I felt like the ugly, unworthy, beat up one. That's the killed, right? The ugly, unworthy, beat up one. Not physically beat up, but just beat up with lack of love, lack of appreciation, right? The way to let go of the killed is to see only the flow, to feel only the flow, and to desire to be only the flow. In desiring to be only the flow, you let go of the idea of being independent. You let go of the idea of choose between, and you choose to only be. There's more to that paragraph, but I'm going to stop right there and just talk about the clarity that was coming along with these words when this message was received. In feeling ugly, I wanted to be beautiful. In feeling unworthy, I wanted to be special. All of those ideas are very, very focused on I, on me. And again, I can't have beautiful without having ugly. I can't have special without having unworthy. For every action, there is an opposite and equal reaction, right? What Spirit is saying is the only way to really let go of extreme unworthiness is to let go of all of the choices of duality and to choose the flow. So, literally, it was an error in my mind to wish to be beautiful. Because that's still the same problem. The same problem is there. If I happen to see myself as beautiful and see myself as special, there's going to be someone else in my presence that is ugly and unworthy, and I'm going to feel the frustration and the annoyance of having that one around. I can't have one without the other. For every action, there is an opposite and equal reaction. So Spirit is saying, if I want to let go of this suffering that I was experiencing from believing I was so unworthy, I also needed to let go of the wish to be beautiful and special. I needed to want only the flow. I'll start reading this paragraph again, but this time I'm going to go further than I did last time. The way to let go of the killed is to see only the flow, to feel only the flow, and to desire to be only the flow. In desiring to be only the flow, you let go of the idea of being independent or an I. You let go of the idea of choose between, and you choose to only be. So, you know, first Spirit says you need to want to be only the flow. And the question may come up, well, how can I be the flow? And the answer comes, you choose to just be. Now, you could say that I definitely was not doing that. I was not just being. You know, when Laurent would tell me that I was ugly, I had a reaction in my mind. And in my case, it was a feeling of agreement and a shrinking and a feeling killed because it was true and a wishing it wasn't true, right? None of that is just being. How do you think a blade of grass would respond if someone told the blade of grass, "You're ugly"? How would the tree respond? Heck, how would even my dog Jamie respond? How would the sun respond? How would the wind respond? The flow is much more like the sun, the wind, the grass, the tree. It doesn't mind if you tell it that it's ugly, and it doesn't mind if you tell it that it's beautiful. It doesn't mind if you say, "I love the wind, I love the sunshine," or if you say, "I hate the wind, I hate the sunshine." As Jim is writing, "Does one flower compare itself to other flowers?" So, again, what's being pointed out here is that the mistake that was causing my suffering was within my own mind. I wasn't being like the blade of grass or the tree or the sun or the wind or the flowers. I was having a judgmental mind, and the judgment that was happening in my mind was agreeing with those statements, you know, "You're ugly, you're not as good as me," and this is where my suffering came from. And again, when, you know, many teachings, not necessarily good spiritual teachings, but many teachings will teach, you know, if you have this low self-esteem, this beat-up self-esteem, you know, practice positive affirmations. "I am beautiful. I am strong. I am da 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 da." Spirit is saying here, no, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. Because even if you can convince yourself that you are beautiful, strong, smart, you're going to end up being around dumb, ugly, weak people, and they're going to annoy you. Because for every action, you get an opposite and equal reaction. You need to let go of the whole thing and be willing to kind of stand in the space in the middle and just be like a blade of grass. Make your teacher a blade of grass. Make your teacher the wind. Make your teacher the sun. Just be as they are. And this is how you become free of these ideas of duality. Again, I'll start at the top of that paragraph, but I'll read further than I did last time. The way to let go of the killed is to see only the flow, to feel only the flow, and to desire to be only the flow. In desiring to be only the flow, you let go of the idea of being independent. You let go of the idea of choose between, and you choose to only be. Choosing only to be is a great gift to your brothers, because the flow that you are comes from them, through you, and is returned to them. By choosing to be the flow as you are, you choose to teach your brothers that their creation is beautiful. In choosing to teach this without judgment or duality, you choose to teach you what you truly are, not apart from your brothers, but in conjunction with them. This is a celebration of truth and joining that outlasts any idea that says something different can exist to choose between. Recently, I've been writing the Buddhism course for the Minister Preparation Program. In fact, I finished writing it a few days ago. And it was being in this course that brought up this idea to teach the flow. In Buddhism, they have a concept. It's called by different names, but I'm going to use the name that Thich Nhat Hanh uses. It's called interdependent co-arising. Some of you may be familiar with that. Interdependent co-arising. And basically what that means is there is no independent cause and there is no independent effect. Everything is as it is because everything else is as it is. That's the flow. Lao Tzu called it the Tao. I think that's probably what A Course in Miracles is pointing toward when it talks about the script. Although, to be honest, I think the script is a little flatter, a little two-dimensional instead of three-dimensional in its description. Everything is as it is because everything is as it is. If you really contemplate that, if you go deep into that in a contemplation, what you will come to realize is there is no independent self anywhere. Everything is as it is because everything is as it is. But the way this paragraph is putting it, and again, remember, it was helping me with a specific problem. It was helping me with seeing myself as just extremely unworthy, extremely ugly, and suffering very much from it, from that. What this is saying is whatever this Regina personality appears to be, whatever this Regina personality appears to be, whether it appears to be something that's sharp and smart, or whether it appears to be something that's a little more dull, not as quick to figure things out, right? Whether it appears to be what the collective calls beautiful, or whether it appears to be what the collective calls kind of plain, ordinary, uninteresting, even ugly. Whatever it is because of the flow. It is because of everything else. It's the perfect outcome of the whole. And it's absolutely perfect in whatever form it appears in. And if you, in your mind, Regina, if you agree that this Regina thing is ugly, and if you agree that this Regina thing is unworthy, then what you're really saying is that there's imperfection, imperfection. And you can say that if you want. And you can suffer if you want. But that doesn't make it true. The truth is, this Regina thing, whether she appears to be bossy and controlling, or whether she appears to be meek and victim-like, whether she appears to be enlightened, or whether she appears to be, you know, a drug addict and a thief, it's absolutely perfect. And it's absolutely as it is because everything else is as it is right now. It is so intricately connected with everything else that you can't even begin to imagine it with the mind. There's absolutely nothing here to judge. No matter what it looks like. You know, sometimes we judge ourselves for making bad mistakes, you know. We judge ourselves for making bad mistakes. And sometimes on the spiritual path, we believe we've made a bad mistake, but then we even deny that by saying there are no mistakes. But actually we're denying this feeling that we've made this bad mistake. Well, this is saying there is no you to make a bad mistake. And that thing that may have appeared to be a bad mistake, that you screaming at another person and another person getting hurt and running out crying, It's just the flow. It was, that situation was what it was because everything else was what it was. You can't separate it. You can't make it different. There's nothing you can do. The only choice you really have is the choice to judge and suffer, or the choice just to be, like the blade of grass, like the sun. You know, today, here in Pueblo, the sun shines here almost all of the time, but today we had an overcast day all day. Do you think the sun was offended because it didn't get to shine today? The clouds blocked it from shining as clearly as it usually does? Of course the sun was not offended. The teaching of the flow is a teaching of asking us to simply be with everything, no matter how it is. And it calls this just being. It calls this love. Love is not a specific action. Love is being with what is. This next paragraph says, be the love by being what you are as you are now. That's referring to the flow, not the personality. Be the love by being what you are, and then as you are now, whatever it looks like. Allow it, love it, see it as a gift from your brothers. In accepting this gift, you accept the truth of you. In accepting you, you accept them as one with you. Now, this is using the language of brothers because I was a Course student. And so it's using the language of the Course to try and explain what the Tao explains, what Buddhism explains, what later the Code explains, what NTI Ephesians explains. You know, it's saying that the personality of Regina is created by your brothers, but that's only a symbol. That's not true, because in truth, those brothers are made in the same way. They're made by this flow. This flow that is made by itself. The flow is made by itself. It's so everything is as it is, and what is now makes the next what is now, and that makes the next what is now, and that makes the next what is now, right? That's what the Code taught us. The thing that's different about the flow and the Code is that the flow, the message, is much more specific about looking at the person I think I am, Regina, looking at my thoughts about me, and letting go of wishing that this me was different. Because wishing that this me was different, smarter, prettier, faster, richer, right, more worthy, is still playing the game that's going to create an opposite and equal reaction. Instead of wishing that this Regina thing was different, it's about realizing this Regina thing can't be different. This Regina thing is as it is in this moment in time because everything else is as it is. And it can't be different. And then just being with it, as beautifully as a blade of grass knows how to be. I'm looking at the flow continued now. After contemplating this message for a couple of days when it came, as you can imagine, I had some questions. Because this was the first time I'd come across this teaching, or this teaching had come to me. Now I see it in the Tao. I see it in Buddhism. It's in the code. I've heard Nisargadatta Maharaj teach it, right? So now I've seen this teaching many, many times, and I have an understanding of it that can't truly be expressed in words. But this was the first time I'd ever been introduced to this teaching. And so although I got it when it came, when the wisdom came, it was clear. Whenever, you know, whenever you're a scribe, and or at least my experience, I shouldn't talk about other scribes. As a scribe, when I receive wisdom, I had absolute clarity about the wisdom when it came, as it was coming. But 2 days later, after thinking about it a little bit, I could confuse myself. I could forget that clarity. So 2 days later, I had some questions about the flow, and that's the next part of the message where it says the flow continued. I asked, I'd like to learn more about the flow. It seems very helpful in opening me up to non-judgment. What would you share with me? And the answer that came, the flow isn't just an idea. It is a fact. It is reality. Nothing happens or is experienced outside the flow. Nothing is independent. Nothing can be done differently than how the flow would have it done. Options do not exist outside the reality of the flow, and any option chosen within the flow is of the flow. Being of the flow, it is of perfect oneness and made in complete agreement. In this way, it is beyond the possibility of judgment. All judgment imagines independent options from outside the flow. So, I mentioned that the script sometimes, at least the way it's interpreted, the script to me seems a little two-dimensional, where, you know, the code, the Tao, interdependent co-arising, these things seem a little more 3D to me, three-dimensional. And the reason is because sometimes when people think of the script, they think of no options at all. And what this is saying is there are limited options in a situation. The options are also a part of the flow. You don't have an option that wasn't there. So, for example, if someone walks into this room and says something to me and I feel deep offense, that's one option. That deep offense. Already I'm accepting an option there. But then maybe another option shows up and says, you know, take a deep breath and rest. You know, let this feeling of deep offense go. That's another option. It was provided. Both thoughts appeared in the mind, and I was able to choose whether I wanted to continue to follow the thought of deep offense or whether I wanted to follow the thought of take a breath, you know, let this go. But a third option that didn't enter the mind, that didn't present itself, isn't possible. So later, 2 days later, if I think about it and I think, oh, here's what I should have done. I should have never felt deep offense in the first place. Well, but you can't change that. Deep offense was there. Deep offense happened. And then there was also an option to breathe and let it go. But there wasn't an option to not feel deep offense. It wasn't apparent in the moment. It wasn't there. How can you say you shouldn't have felt deeply offended? So this is saying that there will be options. There will be choices. And in the code last week, we saw how it's most helpful to always choose the highest choice that's available in the moment. But you can't choose something that's not available. In that way, the flow is like a script, but it's not a two-dimensional script, it's a three-dimensional script. So every option that's available to me is as it is because everything else is as it is. You know, we may look at some person out there who's still caught in, you know, alcohol problems and, you know, neglecting their children and blah, 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 blah. And we may say, you know, why can't that person start making different choices? Why can't they, you know, do this and this instead? Well, maybe those options aren't available to them right now. If I have the option to choose take a breath, let deep offense go, that doesn't mean that another character in the play has the same option in their lines. They may only have the options of feeling deeply offended. That take a breath, let it go may not even appear for them. And you know what? Either way, it is as it is because everything else is as it is. To ask a person to choose an option that was not even available to them is madness, whether I'm asking you or whether I'm asking me to make that choice. So the flow isn't just an idea. It is a fact. It is reality. Now, this I would call this reality with a little r. As I mentioned last week, we're looking at relative truth rather than absolute truth, because absolute truth would be the changeless, non-affected. But this relative truth still, it has a purpose, it has a place. The end of suffering in the realm of experience comes from relative truth. The end of suffering in the realm of experience comes from relative truth. So the flow isn't just an idea, it is a fact, it is reality. Nothing happens or is experienced outside the flow. Nothing is independent. Nothing can be done differently than how the flow would have it done. Options do not exist outside the reality of the flow. And any option chosen within the flow is of the flow. Being of the flow, it is of perfect oneness and made in complete agreement. In this way, it is beyond the possibility of judgment. All judgment imagines independent options from outside the flow. And does anybody know Captain Blackbeard? Is that someone I should give the mic to or not? If I could have some advice from someone who knows. Okay, the flow is most useful to you right now as a means of seeing clearly that you are only perfect love. The flow is most useful to you right now as a means of seeing clearly that you are only perfect love. What I am being told here is the reason for the teaching. This is like the objective. The reason I'm even teaching you this, Spirit says, is because I want you to see clearly that you're only perfect love no matter what. Even if you get enraged and yell and scream and, you know, other people's feelings are hurt and all of that, you're still perfect love. You can't be any different than you are in the moment. That's the way the flow is. Everything is as it is because everything is as it is. And this is why I'm teaching you this. You know, you are suffering right now, Regina, because you believe you're this ugly, unworthy blemish on the planet Earth. And that's impossible. You know, you may go in the house, because I think when I was writing this, I was outside on the porch swing. You may go in the house and you may do something that, you know, isn't the most right-minded thing in the world. You may scream at people. You may throw china. You know, you may just act out in some incredible, incredible way. And you are still perfect love. To judge a character as good and another character as bad is not to understand the relative truth of the flow. Even to judge one character as enlightened and another character as extremely unenlightened is not to understand the relative reality of the flow. Everything is as it is because everything else is as it is. And it's all that it can be right now. And the best way to be with that is just to be. As beautiful, as beautifully as the blade of grass. So again, this paragraph says, the flow is most useful to you right now as a means of seeing clearly that you are only perfect love. You judge yourself whenever you feel you are less than perfect, when you feel you are not the perfect expression of love. A state that is not perfect love created through perfect oneness cannot exist. It is literally impossible. Every moment is perfection. You, as you perceive yourself, are the perfect result of every perfect moment. Experience at the level of effect is only experience. It is not reality. Now, this is where spirit is getting into just saying, just doing a little bit of teaching of actually there's a truth beyond this one. Although this truth is very helpful for you where you are right now, there is an absolute truth that transcends even the flow. Experience at the level of effect is only experience. It is not reality. Okay, there we go. So this isn't ultimate truth. But experience cannot be judged separate from reality, since experience exists within the mind of reality. If experience is judged, reality is judged also. You cannot judge the creation without judging the Creator. You cannot judge yourself without judging the totality of yourself, which is God. Here lays the root of all fear. So even though relative reality is not the absolute, when you judge relative reality, you also judge the absolute. And this is why you're going to be afraid. Something in you that creates fear. When you judge, you fear. There's a direct connection. The less you judge, the less you will experience fear. Because this flow that makes all things is allowed by the Absolute. The Absolute does not touch it. The Absolute does not say, oh, let's tinker with the flow and make it a little different over here. The flow is like the sun and like the blade of grass and like you are being asked to be. The Absolute is just being with the flow. The flow can be whatever it is. It can get as dark as it can get. And the Absolute does not tinker with it. The Absolute is like the sun and like the blade of grass and like you are being asked to be. So when you judge the flow, by default, you also judge the Absolute. You tell the Absolute, or you say to the Absolute, you should not be as you are. You should not just be. You should tinker. You should change. You should make better. And this judgment of the Absolute, this judgment of beingness, is the cause of fear. So the way out of fear is learning to be. Just be with whatever is. The way that would be worded in the Bible would be imitate God. Imitate God. Be as God bees, right? Then the message ends with this. With this said, focus on the flow. Keep your mind today in every moment aware of the flow that is. Want only the flow, and you want only reality. Immerse yourself in gratitude within the awareness of the flow, and you accept yourself and your brothers as the echo of the reality that you are. And that came in the morning on the 13th, and again, when it came, there was clarity. But then I started thinking about it a little bit. And by afternoon, some more confusion had come, and I had questions again. So in the afternoon of the same day, the message continues, beginning with my question. With the teaching of the flow in mind, I'd like to ask about choice. You said that in reality, there is nothing to choose between. There is only the flow. You also refer to any option chosen within the flow. Are there options? Are there choices? And if there are, doesn't that create room for error and judgment? You know, now with the mind that I have now, which is very different than the mind that I had on September 13th, 2007, I look at this question and I see I'm arguing with spirit, defending my right to be unworthy, defending my right to be wrong, defending my right to be guilty. Even though spirit has taught me beautifully that I'm absolutely perfect, no matter what I do, that can't ever be anything but perfect, that this Regina character is as it is because everything else is as it is and it can't be different and it's all beautiful, I come back in the afternoon and say, wait a minute, there's got to be a way I can be guilty. There's got to be a way I can be a screw up. It's impossible for me to be perfect. Defending my right to be guilty, defending my right to be unworthy. And, you know, it's amazing when I talk to people, how often people will do this with me. And I understand I did it with spirit. You know, when do we argue for the exact beliefs that cause us to suffer? And why do we argue? Why do we want to believe them so badly? So again, my question. With the teaching of the flow in mind, I'd like to ask about choice. You said that in reality, there is nothing to choose between. There is only the flow. You also refer to any option chosen within the flow. Are there options? Are there choices? And if there are, doesn't that create room for error and judgment? Answer. Right now, you are slipping into seeing yourself as independent. Right? I'm slipping into the I. Right now, you are slipping into seeing yourself as independent, and this will lead to judgment and a sense of unworthiness. It is not at all helpful to see yourself in this way, which is why I've asked you to remain focused on the flow. There are no options separate from the flow, and you cannot make an independent decision at any time. There are no options separate from the flow, and you cannot make an independent decision at any time. Everything is as it is because everything else is as it is. Independence does not exist, but within the mind of reality, there are multiple vibrational forces in effect. These vibrational forces are cause, which work together to create effect. My next question, is there choice in vibration? The answer, there is always a choice in vibration, and the choice you make in vibration collides in unison with the totality of vibrational choice, and an option comes into being. This option is a decision which will be carried out within experience unless a vibrational change occurs. If a vibrational change does occur, a new option will be presented, and that is the option that will be experienced. Vibrational energies can change in any moment, and the effect is a change in flow. No change can occur in vibration without a change in effect. Now this, in two very brief paragraphs, was describing the code, which I taught last week. So if you just heard those sentences and you went, huh, I want to know more about that, I recommend you listen to my teaching last week called The Code that talks about how we can raise in vibration. And if you don't know me, you can find the teaching The Code by going to ReginaDawnAkers.com and just look under audios, recent audios, and you'll find The Code. So I'm not going to go into those particular paragraphs right now since I spent an hour doing that last Sunday. I'm just going to continue. So at the level of practicality, how does this work? Answer. A shift in perception or a shift in how you choose to experience an event is a shift in vibration. This creates a shift in flow. In other words, you and others will react differently based on a different vibrational level or different vibrational flow. So what this is saying is if there is a higher choice available, if I see in my mind the option to be deeply offended, maybe even feeling already deeply offended, and the option to go deeper into those thoughts, and, you know, discover how right I am to be deeply offended, or I also see an option available to me that asks me just to breathe, to rest, let it go, right? This is saying if those two options are presented, they're presented because this everything is as it is, right? Everything is as it is, and that's what presented these two options for me. And if I choose the higher one, that actually raises the vibration of everything is as it is. It raises the vibration of the totality whenever any of us choose the highest option available to us. Again, this was last week's teaching. As Peace Pilgrim said, when I live up to the highest light I had, higher light was given. That's what this is describing. But again, you can't choose an option that isn't available to you. You can't. So if it didn't show up in the mind as something for you to look at and consider, then that just is as it is. And to say later, I should have thought, take a deep breath and rest, and I wouldn't have been so hurt. Well, that's just craziness, because the option, take a deep breath and rest, wasn't there for you. Everything is as it is because everything is as it is. If the option is provided and you have the ability to choose the option, you choose the option and the vibration is raised. The vibration is not provided, then it just is as it is. I mean, if the choice is not provided, it just is as it is. After this was explained to me, I said, so my choice in perception affects others? And the answer was yes, since there are no others. There is only the flow. Everyone in every moment is acting at their vibrational level in perfect harmony with the total vibrational flow. Nothing is ever out of whack. Each instant is completely perfect. Each action and each personality is a perfect outcome of the flow. And notice this doesn't say, you guys on the spiritual path, you're perfect, but those guys over there that are murdering and raping and enslaving, they're bad. This doesn't say that. This says everyone in every moment is acting at their vibrational level in perfect harmony with the total vibrational flow. Nothing is ever out of whack. Each instant is completely perfect. Each action and each personality is a perfect outcome of the flow. Everything is as it is because everything is as it is. Interdependent co-arising, the Tao, the code, NTI Ephesians. My next question. So there really are no choices beyond a choice in perception, but a choice in perception affects the vibrational flow resulting in what seems to be a different option. This is me trying to mentally understand when, you know what, I didn't have to mentally understand. And you don't have to mentally understand. All we have to do is agree to be. We don't even have to understand. Understanding is a game. Just say, okay, I get it enough to realize that judgment is foolishness and being is what is being asked. Like the blade of grass, my teacher. Like the sun, my other teacher. So there really are no choices, I said, except a choice in perception. And Spirit said yes, but the current option is the result of the current flow. And I say, I think, you know, Spirit was still sensing in me that desire to be guilty, that desire to say, ah, I should have made a better choice. Ah, I chose to be upset. I should have chose peace. Something is wrong with me. That desire, which is a very strong desire. Crazy, but it's a very strong desire. So Spirit's coaching me away from that desire to find myself guilty. The current option is the result of the current flow. Everything is as it is because everything is as it is. A different option cannot truly exist now. Each moment is perfect. It cannot be different. It cannot be truly judged. Remember, this started by saying judgment is a mirage. It's imagination. To learn this is to learn everything. Your only choice is your choice in how to see or feel. But this choice has an effect on everything you experience. It cannot be different from this. And again, you cannot choose how to see or how to feel except for the choices that are provided to you. You can't make something up. You can't make it different. All right, so that's the end of the teaching on the flow. And y'all have a nice time with Lisa and Bill. I'll hang around a little bit, but I actually have an Awakening Together board meeting. So I'll be going to that board meeting and hopefully be back for the contemplation if the meeting is done in time. Bye, everyone.